Peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a song entitled, Keep Your Eyes on the Prize. It's a powerful civil rights anthem that developed in the 1950s and 60s. A folk song that was taken from an old spiritual, a gospel song. And that song tells believers not to forget, not to get distracted away from your target, your goal, but to keep your eyes on the prize of what you ultimately want. Now, in the terms of the civil rights movement, that was freedom and equality. But in our Christian life, there are prizes as well. Our scripture reading today from Revelation 21 tells us what God's prize is. The prize that God has His eye set on. He's been working to bring this about since He created the world. He's been planning for it even longer than that. What is the prize that God wants, for which He's been working down through the ages? God's prize is that He can dwell with His people in peace and love, and we can dwell with Him as forgiven and cleansed and redeemed people, no longer sinners, but saved by grace. We heard it in the reading from Revelation today, where the Apostle John tells us of a vision that he saw of the New Jerusalem, the eternal dwelling place of God. He saw this New Jerusalem, this holy capital city of heaven, descending to be located and rest upon the earth. And then John says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. That's what God wants. That's why He created the heavens and the earth. That's why He made our human race. That's what He's been aiming for ever since He created Adam and Eve. And He wants to have the joy of revealing His power and His glory and His kindness to His people, us. And He wants us to have the joy of living with a loving, good Heavenly Father and seeing and marveling at the beautiful things that He has created for us to enjoy. God's plan is to dwell with His people. But we know how His plan was spoiled. Adam and Eve chose to sin, even though they lived in the company of God in the Garden of Eden. The Lord had made the world a perfect place for them. It provided everything that they needed and wanted without any pain or struggle. And at the end of the day, God would come in the cool of the evening and visit with them as a friend. And yet, in spite of all these gifts, Adam and Eve chose to sin. God told them, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden. If you eat of it, you will die. But a fallen angel, Satan, the devil, who had sinned and rebelled against God and been cast out of heaven, came to them and tempted them. He tempted Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, and she ate some and gave it to Adam, and he ate some too. And God's plan to dwell with His people was spoiled. They couldn't dwell, we couldn't dwell with God anymore because of the sin that's in us. Too offensive. Couldn't be in the presence of God. And so Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden, and their bodies changed. Their bodies became vulnerable to pain and suffering and death. And the world itself became a different place. Instead of being perfectly hospitable for them, now the world is a place that has hurricanes and floods. It has heat waves and crop failures and famines. The world has all these kinds of natural disasters that we hear about every day. When Adam and Eve sinned, God could have abandoned his project. He could have wiped it out and continued on living eternally as he had done before creation. But God didn't do that. Instead, he began a long project to rescue sinners, to restore his creation, to reestablish the loving relationship of God and people, this human race that he cared about so much that he made it the crown of his creation. God's plan for restoration all rested on Jesus. God had known what Adam and Eve would do. He knew they'd sin. He knew that we, descendants of Adam and Eve, would sin. He knew everything that we have ever done or will do. And God planned that he would send his son to become a human being, this perfect man, Jesus, who would live without sin, but then would be the sacrifice, taking our sins on him and suffering in place of us so that we could be forgiven and delivered. The plan took a long time and a lot of work. The promise was given right away. Right after Adam and Eve fell into sin, God said, "The seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head." It was a promise that Jesus would come, born of a human mother, and he would defeat the power of Satan, and he would take away all this trouble that Satan had brought on the human race. Then after that promise, God, throughout Old Testament history with the prophets, gave more and more promises, more details about what was going to happen. The prophets told about Jesus. God raised up a special nation, the nation of Israel, to be his chosen people. And even though they sinned and they turned away from him countless times, he made them a nation prepared for the birth of his son, so that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made born of the Virgin Mary, made under the law, born as one who was circumcised and raised in the Jewish traditions. But he came to redeem us who are under the law, under it and unable to fulfill it. Jesus kept every detail of God's promises. He died for us. He rose again. He went back to heaven. And now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he intercedes for us there. God the Father and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to work in the world through the Word of God. Through that Word, they bring us to faith in the Savior. The Holy Spirit cleanses us from sin, and he builds the church, and he prepares the church for the return of the Lord, when Jesus will come as the judge of all in heaven and on earth. The book of Revelation gives us descriptions of many things that will happen before and during and after the return of Jesus. We see in this vision in Revelation chapter 21 about the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus will create when he returns. In this newly remade creation, the capital city of heaven is going to be not far away, but right here on the earth. It will be the place where God dwells. Earth will visibly be what it's always been, the center of God's creation. Tiny as it is, it's the thing that is the center of God's creation. And in this new city of God on the earth, God will dwell with us. He will be our God and we will be his people. And the unity and the joy and the peace of heaven will be shared by all who have trusted in Jesus. That's the greatest joy we're going to have, is being with God, being with the one who loved us and who is so unspeakably great and powerful and good. And we're told there'll be other joys in heaven. God will wipe away all tears from the eyes of his people. The old hurts and pains that we've experienced in this world will be gone and hurt us no more. Death will be gone. No more separation from loved ones who have died. None of the sadness that comes when we must leave the joys of earth behind. Everything will be new. Disease and decay and destruction will be no more. The world and the universe will be harmonious, comfortable places for us again. Right now, the way the world is, we constantly have to cope with the effects of sin, including deterioration and decay. You know, our houses and our schools and our bridges and our roads always have to be repaired. Our church building has to be maintained because in this world now, things wear out. They break. They become useless unless they're maintained. That's the way the world is because of sin. But it won't be that way in heaven. There your body will never become sick or feeble. Your relationship with God and with other people will never be strained, never broken. Your possessions will never wear out or be lost or stolen. Your treasure is going to be eternal. So Jesus told us, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. A little girl was once playing near her uncle as he worked on his financial books. And when he finished working, the uncle said to himself out loud, "There, now you've got a tidy sum laid up to take care of you for many years." The little girl looked up at the uncle and said, "What are you talking about?" And the uncle said, "My treasure that I've laid up for myself." And the little girl said, "Oh, your treasure in heaven?" And the uncle was startled and he said, "No, I mean treasures here on earth. I don't have any treasures in heaven." The little girl went back to her play, but the uncle thought to himself, "How foolish I am to devote so much attention to treasure on earth and not think about treasure in heaven." And soon after that, he became a Christian. Keep your eyes on the prize of eternal life with God in heaven. That's what matters most. Things of this earth, by comparison, matter very little. Over the doorway of a cathedral in Milan, Italy, there are three inscriptions carved in stone. The first inscription says, "All that pleases, but for a moment." The second inscription says, "All that troubles is but for a moment." The third inscription says, "The only thing that is important is that which is eternal." Eternal. Eternal things are the important ones. That's the faith that we as God's people have. God is eternal. Our home in heaven with Him is eternal. Our relationship with Him is eternal. So let's keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.